Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Welcome to Intelligent Design the Future. I am Jay Richards. I'm a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute, and I am joined today by Father Michael Chaburek, who is a longtime friend. Father Chaburek is a Dominican. He actually spent a year as a visiting scholar at the Discovery Institute back in 2012 and 2013. But he's a native of Gdansk, Poland. He joined the Dominican Order, which is a Catholic religious order, in the year 2000. And then in 2007, he was ordained in Krakow, Poland. He's worked as a student minister, a religion teacher for a junior high and high school. He's been a preacher and a chaplain. He, in 2012, completed his doctorate in fundamental theology from Cardinal Stefan Wyszyński's University in Warsaw. And then for the year after that, he was actually visiting us at Discovery Institute when I was at Discovery Institute in Seattle full time. He then moved to Southern California for a few years, where he was the chaplain at the well-regarded Catholic college, Thomas Aquinas College, and then was pastor's associate at St. Dominic's Parish in Los Angeles. He currently serves at another St. Dominic's Parish in Warsaw, Poland. We're going to talk to him today about his expertise on the intersection of Thomas Aquinas' philosophy and theology, intelligent design, Thomism, and the doctrine of creation. I want to make listeners aware of a terrific website that he has that focuses specifically on these issues. And if you just type Aquinas.design into your Google browser, it will come up. So that's Aquinas, Aquinas.design. Where he is in the process of collecting all of his materials on this subject. But he has two very important books on this topic that we'll talk about in a little bit. But the first one is Catholicism and Evolution, A History from Darwin to Pope Francis, in which he treats in exquisite detail Darwin's theory and of the idea of evolution from the middle of the 19th century all the way up to the present. His most recent book focuses very specifically on Thomas Aquinas and this question of evolution, and it's called, plausibly, Aquinas and Evolution. So with that as background, let's talk a little bit about these subjects. First of all, Father Michael, thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Jay. Thank you for having me on your program.
It's great to be able to talk, even though you're all the way in Poland and the audio is clearer than sometimes actually on my cell phone. So it's great to be with you. Well, tell listeners just for a bit, we have a mix religiously of listeners to this podcast, but obviously Thomas Aquinas was a very important theologian and philosopher of the Middle Ages. But how would you argue for people why he is important and why Christians in general should be interested in the thought of Thomas Aquinas?
Yes, Thomas Aquinas, he was a Dominican who lived in the early years in the beginning of my order. And he is important because he created the first really comprehensive synthesis between reason and faith. So what is revealed by God, what we know through revelation, through the Bible, through church teachings, and what we know from philosophy. This is called a natural knowledge that you can possess by using your reason and observing the universe. So these two forms of knowledge or two types of knowledge can sometimes be in tension. And Thomas Aquinas showed us that there can be actually, the synthesis is possible, that both approaches are very important, and the light of reason will enhance our supernatural knowledge, and our supernatural knowledge will help us to understand the universe.
Well, and there's, of course, even to this day, Catholics talk about Thomism and Neo-Thomism as the idea of someone who follows Thomas Aquinas' thought. But of course, his thinking pervades Catholic theology.
Yes.
You're, of course, a Dominican priest, and I'm a lay Dominican, but his thinking, does it not? It pervades Catholic
That's
thinking
true.
In general.
So throughout the centuries, subsequent popes and councils referred to Thomas Aquinas as the teacher of faith. They would encourage pursuing his method because this method proved so effective in our understanding of divine truth.
Well, I was a Protestant until about 10 years ago, and even went to seminary when I was a Protestant. And I noticed in studying theology in the Middle Ages up until the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation, and afterwards, that many of the Protestant scholastics, when they got to talking about the doctrine of God and the Trinity, it read almost exactly like Thomas Aquinas' Summa. That's so in other words, his influence, especially in the doctrine of God, it's sort of hard to estimate it in Christian thinking in general. And of course, Catholics refer to him as the angelic doctor. He looms large, but even certainly Protestants, if you study Christian theology, you will encounter Thomas Aquinas as a thinker. And of course, you have focused in your writing and your speaking over the last several years on this intersection of ideas having to do with Darwinism and Darwinian evolution, intelligent design theory, and Thomism specifically. So let's dig in a little bit on this question, especially with so-called neo-Thomists, many contemporary Thomists who actually argue oddly that Darwinian theory and Darwinian evolution can be reconciled with Thomistic thought, and that intelligent design theory, counterintuitively, actually is contrary to Thomistic thought. So let's, in this interview, let's just talk briefly about this supposed claim that Darwinian evolution and Thomism are compatible. You argue that they're not. In fact, you say Aquinas' philosophy excludes what you call the three grand claims of theistic evolution. Unpack that for us a bit.
Yes, that's true. I definitely believe that you can't have both, even in some moderate manner. Like some say, okay, let's take Darwin, but let's say that God guides the unguided process of evolution that Darwin imagined. First of all, we need to say that we are talking about biological macroevolution, which means the emergence of completely new species or new natures of animated beings, living beings. So we are not talking about the changes in nature, because these are kind of neutral in terms of theology. But we are talking about the origin of all biodiversity. Some say that the limited theory of evolution guided by God, started by God, would be compatible with Aquinas' thinking. But the problem is that the Darwinian ideas are based on some kind of metaphysics. And this metaphysics that Darwin implements in his theory is contrary to classical metaphysics, which is the basis of Aquinas' thought. So it's impossible on metaphysical grounds to have something like transformation of species via the accumulation of accidental changes. Yes? So it sounds complicated, but it boils down to saying on Darwinian side that you can transform, let's say, a reptile into a bird through the accumulation of accidental changes that will be selected by natural selection. And finally, after many, many generations, after many, many attempts and failures, you will get a first bird from the last reptile. Yes? Whereas for Aquinas, new nature is like a complete being. It's a substance. We call it a substantial form. And this substantial form, so the form that tells you which species the organism belongs to, cannot emerge through accidental change. Accidental change will only change the accidents of the substance. So something that substance, let's say, so some features, let's say secondary features. So those features will change, but the nature of the thing will remain. And that's why we have so many different reptiles, or let's say we have so many different horses, white horses, black horses, brown horses, big, small, fast, slow. So these are all accidentals. They will change. They will change through accidents, through natural selection, through environmental adaptations, but horse nature will remain there. And that's why metaphysically you cannot transform, let's say, a reptile into a bird through those small accidental changes. And this is one of the strongest tenets of neo-Darwinism or Darwinism, that actually species transform through generation. Yes, in subsequent generations, you have minor changes that will be accumulated by natural selection. And finally, you will get a completely new nature. That's impossible. So this is one big claim, a transformation of species, one species understood broadly, like a nature or a family.
Yes, right. Nature in the sort of in the more traditional
sense.
So they have their own nature. So in a sense, Darwin seemed to actually deny that there were distinct natures, because one thing could ultimately blend into another, which seems on the face of it quite contrary to Thomas's entire line of thinking.
Definitely. For Darwin, it's even difficult to say that there are true species, whereas for Aristotle and Thomas Aquinas, it's quite obvious that there are species of things. And we mean here natural species, which are more like families or genera in this classical taxonomy. So transformation of species is impossible, which implies that also universal common ancestry would be impossible, yes, because according to Aquinas and all traditional theology, God created diversity of things, not just one being, not just the universe or just one living being that would diversify naturally through generation over time. But Aquinas holds very firmly to the truth that God created variety of things through his immediate action in order to show his greatness, his wisdom, his beauty, and his power. Yes, and those things, from the beginning, as they were created, they reached the level of their natural perfection. So it doesn't mean that everything what was created was perfect. It means that it was perfect according to its nature. So the first created bird, the first created reptile, the first created horse, they were perfect according to what it means to be a horse, to be a reptile, to be a bird. Of course, they can later acquire different kinds of perfections, but those perfections are never going beyond their natures, which is contrary to Darwin, who claims that everything what was created has to be amended by the process of evolution constantly. Yes? So it has to grow to its natural perfectness through the blind processes, natural processes of generation and random variation, natural selection. So this is another claim, universal common ancestry, that is denied in Aquinas.
I think that part of the Darwinian theory is clear. And so Thomists that want also to be Orthodox Darwinists, they end up having to say something like, God creates everything at the beginning, and then he endows nature with certain laws and properties at the beginning, and then those in turn give rise to all biological forms. And is that the angle they take? And so is there a general concession that, okay, this is radically different from what St. Thomas proposed, or is there a failure to recognize this among a Thomistic theistic Darwinists?
There are two things in Aquinas. One is the philosophical part. And Aquinas says that the new nature, philosophically speaking, without any revelation, new nature of a thing cannot emerge otherwise than through direct creation by God. So there is no natural way of getting new, completely new nature, a new, completely new species. Yes, and he says that this is a philosophical truth. So according to him, things start to be either through a change, it can be generation, it can be transformation, or through creation, which is always an immediate action of God. And he says that among those things that cannot be started otherwise than by creation are the first hypostasis of different species. That's what he says. So we could say, in a simpler way, new substances or new natures, as I said. And these are also the angels and the souls of humans. And we know it, that they have to be created by God. We know that the angels have to be created by God. And he also says that the first matter, for matter of the elements, so the first material beings in this world had to be also created. They couldn't emerge spontaneously out of nothing or by transformation. So this is philosophically, yes? Okay, now, from the theological perspective, Thomas interprets Genesis, because Genesis, the book of Genesis, is the only way how we can know the beginnings in a positive way. Because if we ask about the origin of the universe, the origin of man, we are talking about some kind of history. We have to mentally go back in time and imagine what happened. Yes, and of course we cannot know it from archaeology or paleontology, because those sciences will never take us to the beginning of a species. They will never take us to the beginning of man. We will never find a place or any evidence of the first man. We can imagine or suppose that some bones of the first man, but we can never know it for sure. So that's why we need a special revelation. And Thomas Aquinas interprets Genesis account of creation. He says that this is historically true, and that there are stages in creation. And this is his, we could say, positive knowledge, which comes from theology.
Right.
And so this positive knowledge that he proposes, or the positive interpretation of the history of creation, would exclude what Darwin says, yes, because Thomas attributes those events to divine action. So they are the products of direct divine action. He speaks about three, let's say, periods in the history of the universe. First is this creatio ex nihilo, creation out of nothing. Mm-hmm. Then there is something like the distinction of things. So God divides this early being into different substances, and then there is something like adornment. He adorns the universe with the living beings. Of course, this is a very general picture, but it's already contradictory to what Darwin proposes as his own history.
It is. And so the picture you get, at least from St. Thomas, is that certainly he could accommodate the general idea of natural selection and random variation as accidental changes within fundamental form. So there's no problem with that. It's when the Darwinists will want to do use these obviously accidental changes to explain fundamentally new kinds of forms, new natures or new beings. That's where the problem is.
Yes. So Thomas doesn't know modern science. He doesn't know much. He doesn't know anything about genes. He doesn't know much about generation, how it happens in details. But all of this is actually irrelevant for the main tenets, okay? So some people say, well, what can Thomas tell us about the origin of species, or what can he know about evolution? He lived 800 years ago, and he didn't know anything of modern biology. The problem is that Darwinian theory is scientific only as much as it speaks about microevolution. And if we take microevolution, it's irrelevant for Thomas' thinking either. So microevolution, which means the changes within those species, natural kinds, this is not a problem for Aquinas, and this is what Darwin explains. This is what he shows.
That's right. He shows we have plenty of evidence for natural selection explaining the survival of the fittest, as it said, but not the arrival of the fittest. If you look at it as just a kind of conserving force, natural selection is the reason that populations of elk don't get sicker and sicker, things like this. It's very good for that. It's also not theologically significant at all, because it's talking about variations within forms. It's when you get into sort of Darwinism, really, in many ways, as a broader kind of metaphysical picture in which you try to explain more than it really can explain, that you run afoul of Thomas's thinking, it seems.
Yeah, so Darwin explained microevolution, and then he postulated that this same process would explain the origin of species. So he explained how the species change over time, and then he said, well, the same process, it can be applied to the origin of species. Yes, but this is just a postulate. There was no evidence for it. Whereas Thomas explains, taking supernatural truth and metaphysical truth, he explains the origin of species, the origin of the universe. So he works on this higher level, we could say, on the level of the origins, whereas Darwin works on the level of changes, yes, not the origins.
Yes. Well, and what is curious is how many otherwise Orthodox Thomists and Catholic philosophers and theologians are nevertheless so quick to adopt Darwin's general picture, despite the obvious incompatibilities that you pointed out here, instead of actually going and looking at the evidence, say, well, let's see what the actual scientific evidence says about the power of Darwin's theory before we go to all this trouble to try to fit it into a theological framework where it really doesn't fit.
Yes. Exactly. And in my book, I actually have a separate chapter I try to analyze the reasons why contemporary Thomists adopt this general macroevolutionary vision, and they are so hesitant to acknowledge Aquinas' teaching in this particular area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it is. It's a very strange thing. Well, this has been a great conversation. In a future podcast, we're going to talk about Thomism and intelligent design. For now, we've just talked about the incompatibility of the thought of St. Thomas Aquinas and theistic evolution, specifically theistic Darwinism. And I point listeners again to your website. If you just type into your browser aquinas.design, you'll get Father Michael Kobberich's website with some of these materials and information about his book. Again, this is Jay Richards with ID the Future and the Discovery Institute. Thanks for joining us.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.